This episode of The Nate Darling Show is radio-friendly. All the funny, none of the cursing. The world is a big, stupid place.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
And they're here to make fun of it. This is The Nate Darling Show. Now, here's Nate and the gang.
Ha, with me, ha. A little speed bump in my brain. Jason and Kareem, hello boys.
We are back, dang right.
Coming up on the show today, what's happened to Rachel Dolezal?
What has happened to that young lady?
If you forget who she is, she's the not African-American lady who was the head of the local chapter of the NAACP, who identified as African-American. Mm-hmm. We're going to check in with her, see what's happened. Another beverage from the 90s poised to make a comeback. Crystal Pepsi made a little comeback.
Little one.
You can see it here or there. I still see them here or there. And I haven't had any for a while. I'll explain why that is for a bit. Plus, we're going to talk about some products from the 70s that you can still buy right now. And why you should look into doing that. Or if we should look into doing that.
Ooh, an Evel Knievel toy.
Oh, the Evel Knievel. The kids would hate those things with the plastic ripcord and the teeth.
Oh, yeah. I had the spin one that you, like,
I would have loved that one. Oh. No, all the toys like that I had the plastic ripcord that went into, like, the plastic gear. And if you pulled it too fast, it would almost strip the gear.
Yeah.
Oh, so pointless. And it would create such friction and heat. The burns.
It was, we used to play that game with each other.
Burning each other?
Yeah. I know. I had a bunch of sadistic friends.
Sure. There you go. All right. Before we get into any of that, any weekend plans? Jason, I'll start with you.
Weekend plans. Moving a bunch of my mom's stuff from a storage shed up in Paradise to someplace here in Sacramento. So that'll be so much fun. Like,
there's nothing like moving.
Oh man,
the only thing better is getting to go to one of those storage areas to do it.
Oh man, yeah. So anyhow, that's what I'm doing.
Productive stuff. There you go, Kareem. Any plans? Anything good?
Darn it, I don't even know. I've been in class all week for my new job, so. Things are a little hazy. I might go ahead and finally go see Logan this weekend. I've been waiting
yes,
to see that.
Yes, I need to see Logan. That's the one movie Jason's seen that we have not.
Yeah. I've seen that. And, oh, my gosh, guys. Let me tell you. Hugh Jackman at his best.
Well,
that or John Wick 2.
That's a good movie, too.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Chips is coming out, too.
Right.
Yeah. Which I definitely want to see. So
I saw Vita Guerrero's in there. I think I'm going to go see it just because of that.
When I saw the first thing for I was like, I like Dax and I like Michael Pena, both of those guys, but I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. And then I was listening to WTF podcast today, and Dax Shepard wrote and directed it, so that makes me now excited to possibly see it.
So here's what's opening this weekend if you're interested. We can go through these and you can give me a yay or nay on whether you're interested in seeing these movies, and I will keep it to the ones you may have heard of. Power Rangers, Jason. Kareem?
Nah.
There's a movie called Life with Jake Gyllenhaal. Jason?
Not my cup of tea.
Kareem?
Who's in that one besides Jake Gyllenhaal?
Ryan, what's his name? Ryan Reynolds. It's the one about space. And
oh,
they seen it.
It's
I saw the preview sets.
It's 88% on the tomato meter.
I might see it then, but maybe when it comes on video.
Don't be influenced by the tomato meter. If you don't want to see it, you don't go see it. The previously mentioned Chips.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that.
Kareem, you already said you're gonna go see Chips. Let me see everything.
What's that on the tomato meter?
It has nothing.
Yeah.
Ooh, which means they haven't pre-screened it.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
There's a horror movie coming out called Prevenge.
Prevenge?
The front of it is a pregnant lady with one hand holding her belly. In the other hand, there's a big butcher knife behind her back.
Yeah, nah.
It is a, it's called, they're calling it Wickedly Subversive, Darkly Funny, and Predictably Brilliant.
Predictably Brilliant?
Yeah, I know, that's really weird. it's exclusively on Shudder, which I don't know what that is.
It's an, I think it's like an app you can download.
Yeah, it's a horror comedy.
Yeah.
And the writer, director, star is someone named Alice Lowe. Again, I don't know.
All-time low.
Also, in Beauty and the Beast just destroyed the box office last week.
I don't know why, man.
Leslie went to see it, which, good. She went with her friend, and I was very happy that I didn't have to go to that. By the way, Logan's at 92% on the tomato meter. Get Out's at 99%. I want to see the Lego Batman movie, because that's I still have not seen that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that also. I want to see Get Out. I think Get Out is like really like number one on my list. And then I saw that I'm Not Your Negro. I was at the Crest. I'm not sure if it's there anymore. But those are like the two movies that I feel like I need to see if I go to the movies right now.
Excellent.
What do you mean need to see?
Like those are the ones
that for your entertainment or to satisfy your white guilt?
A little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Jason's officially a brother.
No, I've heard, like, I started reading about,
we'll see his reaction to Get Out, and that's what we'll really tell.
I saw the preview for I'm Not Anyone, and I read about the guy that it's about, and just heard something about his life, and I was like, that sounds like he was pretty amazing. He had to move to, like, they were talking about him moving to Paris, and like how that was when he really realized who he was and what it was to be an American. He had to move away.
That's most black writers before 1970.
Yeah.
James Baldwin, Richard Wright. So some of the greatest black minds. Actually, I guess that was just black artists, period. Because jazz musicians, everybody, they were more appreciated in Europe than they were here. So a lot of them moved. But James Baldwin, like, intellectually is like one of the greatest minds, American minds, period.
And I heard, like, I think a comment that he had made about television being the new drug, like that was like that was the thing that was going to infect everyone.
Yeah. And James, and the great thing about the movie is still relevant. The things that he wrote about started in the movie is based off of a movie that he was writing about Muhammad Ali. No, I'm sorry, about Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, and Martin Luther King. So that's where the movie comes from. His big writings that he was beginning on them and their deaths in America before he passed. And the fact that we're still having the conversations, or we're not having conversations that he had, but the issues are still the same issues, is ridiculous at 30 years later.
Well, that was one of the interesting things about Get Out, is part of the social commentary is you had all of these white people who were so welcoming and receptive to the African American boyfriend.
Yeah.
At least that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
And so it's something that you've mentioned before. It's like you got to watch the people who are way too friendly.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an interesting commentary.
Yeah, like Al Carolla says.
Yeah. So like last night I was over in Jason's neighborhood at a meeting about the good and bad of gentrification. And I was in the room looking around the room in the meeting. And it was a room full of gentrifiers. Even the
so there was a lot of good about it.
No, there
in the
no,
meeting.
No, there wasn't a lot of good about it.
No. I mean that was the part that got weighed heavy.
Yeah,
it's working out really well, Kareem. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. So and I pointed it out to the, like, they had a chance for you to ask questions. I didn't ask questions. I made my comment. It was like, this is what's wrong with gentrification. You have a bunch of gentrifiers in this room, but you don't have anybody from the community in the room.
Kareem, they prefer the term conquerors.
Yes. Well, I call them gentrifiers.
Well, true, but it really is. It's conquering, because they've come in and, for lack of a better term, conquered the neighborhood and pushed out the, I mean, that's really, if you want to look historically and put a little bit different spin on it, it's sort of like conquering and taking over a neighborhood.
Yeah. And that was one of the things, other things I pointed out to him was don't, it said, you're here. I said, you know, everything new that's being brought to the neighborhood isn't about the neighborhood. It's about you guys. So you're getting pushback or you're getting death stares from the people in the neighborhood because they know that this, what's going on is not about them. It's about you.
What's really funny is growing up in Vermont, there was a term for people who moved up from Massachusetts in New York, called them Flatlanders.
Yeah.
And they would move up from Massachusetts in New York, and they came up because they would come on vacation and they would go, oh, this is a great place. We should get a vacation house there.
Yeah.
And then they would get a vacation house there. And then they would go, oh, this is so great when we come here. We should live here all the time. And then they move up full time. And then they go, you know what? This is really great. But you know what would make it better? If we had this like we had back in Massachusetts. And if we had this like we had in New York. And so for the it starts out with the idea, and I know from your perspective, it's a racial thing. It's not.
Well,
it's a cultural thing.
Well, actually, I have a, that was the other thing that I did. I did a little bit of the bit that I do about gentrification. And actually, my conclusion isn't that it's a race thing. Is that white people are assholes?
It's a cultural thing because it was taking that city urban culture and bringing it into rural Vermont, and everybody was like, if you came here because you liked the way it was, why are you trying to change it?
Exactly. It's like I said during the joke. It's like, okay, it's like white people move places and forget why they moved there. Like, you'll have a family that'll went through a horse community in Auburn. Was like, oh, this is great. We should move up here. And the husband's like, yeah, June, I don't think this is a good idea. He's like, no, honey, then little Becky can have a horse and it'll be great. And he's like, I don't think so. But he ended up there. And then the next thing you know, he's like, what is that smell?
Right. It's there all the time. Like, I don't get to go home and get away from it.
Yeah. And then the next thing you know, nobody can own a horse, or they can only have one horse per half acre because these assholes moved in.
But feeling good about yourself, Jason?
Listen, we bought a house that we can afford. Like,
I get it. Look,
that's
and then the other thing that I pointed out was this: the reason it's not. I made my point not to necessarily say that white people moving in was bad. It's just that when you move in and people look at you like an interloper, it is because you're an interloper. So when you come in, remember that you're the guest. You're not the neighbor. I mean, you're not the person that was there. So come in and act accordingly.
He's saying assimilate, Jason. It's the same message that President Trump has for people coming here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, KJ, I mean, KJ is the reason that's, I mean, like, he's the biggest gentrifier of all of them, right? I mean, like.
No, this is a 25-year plan. This has been going on since 1994.
Yeah.
This has been in the works since around that time.
As they put UC Davis Medical Center and they started building that up and making that a huge campus, the whole idea has been to turn that whole area into
exactly what it's and being but that into. And that's what happens everywhere in the country. Yeah. Every major hospital or university in this country is in the ghetto.
Well, that's because the land was cheap.
Exactly. And
it's what they could afford.
It's what they could afford. But the other part of it is you have to have somewhere for white people to go.
We need to go somewhere.
Every 25 years, it's the same reason why you can't buy a car that lasts forever. It's because they have to get you to spend money. And so, therefore, they have to make it seem like living in the suburbs isn't cool anymore. So we're going to move you downtown. Oh, well, let's move downtown.
Yeah, and 20 years ago, living downtown is like, oh, you don't want to live down there.
Yeah.
It's full of bums and pee.
Yep, and 20 years from now, they'll be saying the same thing to those they'll be saying the same thing to you about living where you do. It's like, oh, you don't live here. You want to live out where you have some property.
By the way, downtown's still full of bums and pee.
Yeah.
Still full of it.
I mean, that's the game.
If you're wondering.
Yeah. And I'm So I grew up in the suburbs. Yeah. I lived out in Joshua Tree. I lived in New York City for a while.
The suburbs.
Joshua Tree is not the that was like
middle of freaking desert
in the middle of nowhere. And then I lived in New York City in Greenwich Village for a while. And
you just been gentrifying all over the place.
I lived everywhere I go. He was
pushing cactus out of their homes.
I mean, I lived in Antelope. I lived in Roseville. I lived in Woodland. I mean, I lived in all those places before I settled on Midtown back in 2006, 2007. Mm. And it was just because I loved it. And the reason that I'm in Oak Park is because when we found a house like that we could afford, like because my wife's like, we could have gotten a house that for $100,000 more. We were approved for a lot more. But we were like, this is the house. We'll buy it. And you know, I wish we were more a part of the community and we did more. But at the same time, we just had a kid, so it's difficult to be part of it. But one of the ladies I met on in jury duty, Patty, is like the lady that does all the books. She drops all the books at all the places. She's like she's a older black lady, worked in the Air Force. Like she's an amazing woman. She took me by the community center. Like showed me everything in town, and like it's like, hey, you should be part of this stuff. This is what's going on. So I mean, I'm lucky that I have her now to expose me to what you know. Where I need to go. I feel terrible that I'm a fucking gentrifier. Right? Oh, dang it!
And that you swore on the clean episode.
I'm sorry.
Nicely done.
You did it on the last episode.
I know, but I made. I have to edit it.
I'm sorry.
And it's cool. It's cool for you to move to new neighborhoods. Just don't crap on the people that are there to do it.
No.
Yeah.
Now, meanwhile, a marijuana entrepreneur is banking on people wanting to get baked as they bulk up. Jim McAlpine is set to open the Power Plant Gym in San Francisco, where not only will smoking pot during a workout be acceptable, it will be encouraged. The 46-year-old, along with former NFL star and marijuana lover Ricky Williams, is hoping the gym will shatter stigmas around smoking pot.
No, bro. No.
To start with, he made perfectly clear the facility won't be some sort of stoner hangout, describing it as a premier gym. He then explained the boost people who sign up at the unique center can expect from their enhanced workout techniques, saying, if you use the right cannabis, it takes things you love and lets you love them more. The fitness that can help you get into the zone, into the eye of the tiger mode.
There's something to be said for that.
People will be allowed to be able to buy and smoke weed at the gym, while McAlpine himself has worked in a range of edibles designed specifically for pre- and post-workout. Now, in addition to that, he runs 420 Games, a group that, through a series of active lifestyle events, works to break down the stereotypes that have been built up during the era of cannabis prohibition. Ricky Williams, meanwhile, abruptly retired from the NFL in 2004 after 5 seasons with the Saints and Dolphins and many, many failed drug tests. He came 3, as a matter of fact, and it was marijuana use. The former running back has since gone on a campaign to raise awareness about the way some players use marijuana to cope with the toll football takes on their bodies. So,
did you see the video of him getting harassed by the police when he went to...
Yes. I did see that. He didn't have any weed on him, so he was good. Because you don't want to have any weed on you. Jason, I'm going to ask you, as a noted enthusiast of the herb, would it help your workout? Do you think it would boost your workout?
I'll put it this way. When I used to get stoned, Chris would be like, she would say, like, I could get stoned whenever I wanted to, because whenever I used to get stoned, really stoned, like on a Saturday morning, I would clean furiously for like 2 or 3 hours. I would almost, I would get stoned so I could play video games, but it's like, I had this thing where I knew if I sat down and played video games that I would feel guilty because I wasn't doing something around the house. So I would get up and I would start cleaning so I could play video games for maybe 45 minutes. You know, because you would wake up by the time, you know, yeah. I could definitely see it, because you definitely get in your zone. It can like really focus on things sometimes. I could see how that could be really helpful. And I know guys that is what their workout, like they'll go and smoke, you know, kick 2 or 3 hits off their Sneak-a-Toke and then go work out for 45 minutes.
Mm. Kareem, you're a black man. You must have an opinion on marijuana.
I don't smoke it.
So you're the one.
Yeah.
That's my racist statement. I know that's blatantly racist. That was the joke.
But I don't. I mean, if you want to smoke, that's up to you.
My only issue is the fact that you're blowing smoke around a gym.
Yeah, that's my issue with it.
I don't care about your edibles or whatever else.
Because the only reason marijuana is not legal is because
well, it is legal. You just
But I mean, it's because it's still a federal, still against the feds because the tobacco corporation that figured out a way to do it yet.
I bet you that they probably use a vaporizer. Like, I bet you like that they have a vaporizer so they don't have to worry about that. Like
they've got a special room, the toke room. The toke room. Come on into the toke room. Do your warm ups. All right.
Yeah. Probably like a sauna. It's probably like a sauna. Like
it's a sauna slash bong.
Just throw some herbs on the rocks.
It's a community bong. All right. Meanwhile, the 1970s, Kareem and I were young children back then.
Yes.
Me too.
As were you. Here's 17 products from the 70s you can still buy right now for some particular reason. Pet Rocks. You can still get a Pet Rock. They're $5. You can get them on Etsy. It's one of the places you can get it. You can get a mood ring.
Ooh. I think they will never go out of style.
That's a handmade sterling silver mood ring for $50 on Etsy. Or if you go to Dimple, you can get one for $2 because that's what I use to propose to Leslie with. I use the mood ring because I knew I wouldn't be able to pick out the proper engagement ring. So we picked that out later together.
Cool. Smart man.
As it was a surprise thing. Marathon bars are still available.
Man, I haven't seen one of those in forever.
It's right? It's called a Curly Whirly in the UK.
It's a marathon bar.
Huh? It's a marathon bar. It's a bunch of holes punched in it. Tab soda.
I had some of that recently.
When the guy that we used to work for in tobacco, one of the guys we used to work for, he used to say, I want a tab, a knob, and a honey bum.
By the way, tab soda, the only thing more cancer-causing than a cigarette itself.
They were disgusting.
You can get it on Amazon if you want. Beer shampoo is still available on Amazon. By the way, click through the shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com. You need to do better at that. Pearl Drops Tooth Whitening Tooth Polish, available on Amazon. Atari video game consoles are available on Amazon as well. They now have them built in with like all the games built onto them for like $50-$60 with like 50 games on it.
Yeah, would have cost you like getting one of those.
Would have cost you like $8,000 back in the day.
Yeah,
and now there's that something called Rusty Zipper, where you can make your own 70s fashions. You can get a lava lamp on Amazon.
Oh heck yeah!
Shag carpeting in plum at Carpet Express.
Oh wow! Heck no.
Bell bottoms are now $136. On a site called Show Me Your Moo Moo.
I am not surprised.
Mm-hmm. CB Radio. You can get those on Amazon. You used to be able to get them at Radio Shack when it was open.
Yeah, Breaker 19.
Yeah, I mean, that's a 70s thing, but if you're a truck driver, they still use those.
Come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A Barbara Streisand t-shirt when she was younger.
Oh, my gosh.
Something called Red Bubble. A polyester tracksuit.
There you go.
But $70 to $85.
I want one of those.
Well, you get those when you join the mob. Platform clogs, $100 at Zappos. Wow. I remember my cousins having those. A computer floppy disk drive, that's only $12.99.
That type of disk drive was not around in the 70s. That disk drive right there.
Right.
That is a definitely like a late 80s, 90s, 3.5-inch. Not a floppy disk.
Right. They could not find anything that held the 5.25 inches. But there you go. You can still get an answering machine for $14.97 at Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
I used to have that one.
It's digital, but you can get it. So those are some of the things from the 70s that are
don't
still
you have
available
to have a
today.
Phone to have an answering machine.
Yeah. I have an answering machine. It's built right into my phone. Yeah. Built right in. So that's it. Now, mentioned Crystal Pepsi. Apparently, Zima is poised to make a comeback too. Miller Coors ready to reintroduce the 90s era clear malt beverage that was once advertised as something different.
I just heard that Chris Hansen's To Catch a Predator is coming back for season 2.
Chris Hansen is the host of Crime Watch Daily now, and he does segments periodically called Hansen versus Predator. And it's the same thing. If you're in Sacramento, it's on Fox 40 at 4:00 every day. Beer Business Daily reported that the brand is already in distributor warehouses and will allegedly be offered for a limited time only. A spokesman for MillerCoors said more news is coming soon. Originally owned by Coors, the malt beverage surged out of the gate in the early 90s before falling on hard times. It was eventually discontinued in the U.S. A lot of people who drank Zima fell on hard times that later that night, too.
Literally. Oh, man. See, that's what happened was, like, all the kids grew up.
The Pete Coors, the vice chairman of the board of directors for MillerCoors, explained why Zima hit the skids after the successful debut, saying, "We decided to do Zima Gold, which was a huge disaster. And then we decided to take the nice fluted bottle and make it into a generic bottle. We killed the brand. We got too clever. And the marketing guys will tell you that it's somebody else's fault."
Of course.
See, he added a laugh. "Don't blame the marketing guys. It was you. You okayed it.
Say you're out for a beer. What do you have?
Beer.
What if there wasn't any beer? Sorry, guys. Never heard of it."
Zima's good.
What is this? No, just Zima's a unique alcohol beverage. I kind of like it. Anything else?
Do you got pretzels? What day is this?
Are you tired?
You know how I know you're gay? You're drinking Zima! Sorry, borrowed that from the 40-year-old virgin. Then you know how I know you're gay game. And yeah, if you're drinking Zima, yeah, clearly there's an issue with that. All right, let's do this.
For some judging, it's time for Cool or Tool.
All right, first up in Cool or Tool, gimmick gyms. Gimmick gyms. Jason.
I'm going to say that gimmick gyms are cool.
Kareem.
I'm going to say they're tool. It's bad. It's, well, they're tool, and it's hard enough to keep a gym open regardless.
they're tool. Listen, and I'm talking to you, Curves. Is that still a thing?
Yeah. You're so right.
Curves, the gym for women who are never going to get into shape?
Some of them do.
No, they don't.
Some of them do.
No, they don't. That's a lie. See, you're telling the lie that they tell themselves when they go to Curves.
I believe in you, women.
I believe in you, too. I don't believe in Curves. That's what I'm saying. Gimmick gyms are tool. Up next in Cooler Tool, the 70s. Kareem.
70s were cool. I missed the $6 million man and the bionic woman.
No, they'll make movies. Jason.
Well, I was born in the 70s, so they were dope cool.
You know, the 70s was a very weird time. There were a lot of very good things and a lot of very bad things. For instance, the Bee Gees started out as a very respected rock band at the beginning of the 70s, and they were one of the world's most successful disco bands by the end of the 70s, but had lost most of their respect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how the 70s go. Overall, because it's when we first heard Bruce Springsteen.
I don't know, though. We had a lot of Gibbs out of the Bee Gees.
Most of them are dead. Because we launched Bruce Springsteen and Billy Joel. Going cool. And finally, in Cooler Tool, Zima. Zima, Jason.
Listen, man, you want to drink what you want to drink, so it's cool.
Kareem?
I'm trying to think. I think I may have had one once in my life. I'll say cool. I think I got laid that night.
Zima, if you haven't had Zima, here's what it is. Imagine the sugar water that you put out for hummingbirds. Now, make it an alcohol.
Yeah, that's a good description of it.
It is the walking definition of a girl drink, in sort of beerish form. You know, whatever. In the original bottle, I'll go cool.
In the original bottle,
but that's only in the original bottle. So that's going to do it for Cool or Tool. I encourage you to be cool and shop Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com because you've really been slacking and disappointing us. Do it. Doesn't cost you anything extra. It supports the show. And it's super easy.
Yeah.
Super duper easy. Make it happen, people.
Just do it.
Get yourself something nice. You probably got your tax return.
Yeah, don't be a jerk.
You probably got your tax return. Maybe it's time now to do something nice for yourself. Get yourself something nice.
And in return, you'll be doing something nice for us.
Uh-huh. I will tell you this. A couple of things I've recently gotten on Amazon. And it's nice because I can buy stuff and have it shipped right to my dad if he needs something. For instance, I noticed he had like a bunch of those little reader glasses. They're all terrible. Right, like they're old, they're worn out. Went on Amazon, got him a 4-pack of them for $9. A 4-pack of them. So now he can have one near his recliner, at the kitchen table, near the computer, and he has a pair to be wherever with him, to carry with him if he's going anywhere. $9. They are almost that. I think they're about that much per pair if you buy them in the store or more.
Yep.
So you can find some really great deals. I pre-ordered the Major League Baseball game that's coming out next week, and got a $12 discount on it.
Ooh.
By pre-ordering it, getting it on Amazon.
Your PS4, is it the 1 terabyte?
No.
No. Okay.
No, it's not.
Okay. Not. I was just asking because one of the things that I started doing is buying my games digitally.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the problem with buying them digitally. When you're done playing them, you can't trade it in.
That is true.
That's true.
And even though it may only be $5, it's still something.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it.
That's my thing.
Yeah. I'm very selective of what I buy, though, so.
Oh, sure. Sure, be selective, be you. But like second controller for the PlayStation 4. I was seeing it for a variety of prices, usually about $60.
Yeah.
$45 on Amazon.
Drop the hammer.
And Prime member, so shipping was free. It was here in 2 days.
Yeah.
It's that easy. So go ahead and get yourself shopping Amazon.
Yeah, if you like Xbox, you can buy Xbox stuff there too.
Yeah, so. any video game
system.
I'm
just saying, just because I'm an Xbox guy.
Yeah, and you can buy cases and stuff for your new iPad Pro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, seriously, I bought that's where I buy my iPad cases from, because they're so much less expensive and
free shipping. Yeah, in 2 days.
That was my way of saying I got a new iPad Pro.
Nice. Did you get the big one?
Yes.
Did you get the stylus?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
the Apple Pencil. Nice. It's not a stylus. It's a pencil.
It's a pencil.
It's nice to have friends who work for Apple.
Oh, there you go. All right. So I promised earlier we would check in with Rachel Dolezal. Some sad news. She is near homelessness. I don't know what that means. She rejected porn and reality TV offers. I don't know to be proud of that. I mean, I get not wanting to do porn. I do. But reality TV, she's been on TV. She went on TV a bunch of times. She's the white woman who became infamous for identifying herself as a black woman for decades and running the Spokane, Washington chapter of the NAACP. She's jobless now and fears she may soon be homeless. In an interview with The Guardian about her upcoming memoir, I'm homeless by my book. It's called In Full Color, Finding My Place in a Black and White World. She said she's jobless, been offered employment in reality television and porn films, feeds her family with food stamps, and doesn't know how she'll come up with her March rent. She says that although she's applied for more than 100 jobs, no one will even hire her to stock shelves. She says, right now, the only place I feel understood and completely accepted is with my kids and my sister. What about your cat? Does your cat accept you? She said, claiming she can currently count the number of friends she has left in Spokane on her fingers. Wonder why that would be. Her life began to unravel 2 years ago when a reporter asked her, "Are you African American?" And she turned from the camera and fled. Shortly thereafter, her very white parents came forward with photos of her childhood as a freckled-faced blonde and claims that her roots are German and Czech with traces of Native American. Now, time has passed, but wounds have not healed. She lost jobs with the NAACP and Eastern Washington University. Most of her family and friends are estranged, and the respect she had earned for her civil rights activism has turned into disgrace. She said, "There's no protected class for me. I'm this generic, ambiguous scapegoat for white people to call me a race traitor and take out their hostility on, and I'm a target for anger and pain about white people from the black community. It's like I'm the worst of all these worlds." She says she still feels no shame, though. When asked if she felt like she had done anything wrong, she said, "I'm not going to stoop and apologize and grovel and feel bad about it. I would just be going back to when I was little and had to be what everybody else told me I should be to make them happy." Well, here's a thought. Maybe you're a dick.
I think her parents were dicks for outing her.
Well, she sort of outed herself. They just brought it clearly into focus that was part of it. And I'm sure there are plenty of people on social media calling her a race traitor. You know, they all live in camps in Michigan or voted for Trump or did something stupid. It's really... What do you think of this woman, Kareem?
I'm not upset with her at all. I mean, she was a... And what she was doing was from her heart, and she was actually trying to do some work. I don't have an issue with her.
I don't care one way or another.
Yeah.
But I get it. It was just like, why don't you... First of all, just apologize. Go, look, I'm sorry I misled you. That's not what I was trying to do.
Yeah.
That's not doing what this whole idea of, oh, when I was little, I had to apologize, so now I'm not going to stop it. And maybe do some reality TV, because that'll help.
That's what she should have did.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I understand why she didn't do it, but if she really wants to make some, if she wants to, at this point, if she wants to support her family,
right,
that's what she's going to have to do.
Yeah.
She's going to have to do something she doesn't want to do.
Yeah. Right. You know, a lot of people do that. It's called getting up and going to work.
Yeah.
You know, some people have to go and you know, try and shovel coal out of a mine they've closed. Thanks, Donald Trump. And other people have to go do their reality show. By the way, anybody else watching Mama June from Hot to Not or from Not to Hot? No? No?
No.
Just us? Okay. I'm still up in the air on it. I'm calling it Mama June from Hot to... We'll see. because she's going to be thinner. I'm not willing to commit to Hot.
Yeah, I don't think that's in the genes.
Oh, man.
Jason, what's wrong?
I just can't. I can't.
You just can't what?
I just can't, like...
Does it burn?
It's like when I come home and my wife's watching My 600-Pound Life.
Oh my God, that show! Okay, please tell me. There was the one last week. It was a fella on there. His name was James. I believe James K.
I didn't see it.
And he's from Kentucky. And Leslie and I watched My 600-Pound Life, too. It's an incredible motivator if you never feel like getting off your couch. Because if you start to think, if you hear their excuses for why they've gotten to where they are, and you hear anything that you might have said once yourself, it's a real reality check.
Yeah,
it really is. It's what's it's part of what motivated us to do this whole 30 program that we're on now. but this poor guy, now I'm going to call him poor guy. That was what I started with, this poor guy, because he was always heavy and he had an ankle injury and he got into bed.
He never got out of bed.
And he had a daughter and a girlfriend who essentially take care of him. And the episode starts out with...
By the way, like, don't get it. Don't even think about getting, like, any other idea. Like, every single one of these people have at least one or two, at least have two people that take care of them.
Right.
Full time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's their full time job.
Yeah, because they have to. This guy can't get out of bed. And they start out the episode, and he's got all sorts of, like, bumps and stuff on his legs, the episode starts with him going yelling to his girlfriend, saying that he's gone to the bathroom and she needs to come and clean him up.
Wow, man!
Eventually, and they don't have the money to get him down to the doctor in Houston, so they tried to do the local news came out and they tried to do a GoFundMe thing. Now, because he needed to be in an actual medical transport to make the trip from Kentucky to Houston. And so that was going to cost like $15,000 because it's a huge trip. And so they started a GoFundMe page. And in a month, guess how much money they raised?
$600.
Kareem?
$6,000.
$383.
Oh, man.
Because everybody knew about this guy. She's like, he's lived here his whole life. And I'm like, yes, they all know him. They all know him. So anyway, eventually his father, who had a mild stroke on the couch while coming to visit him, took out a second mortgage on his house to pay for the trip to Houston. Man. They go to Houston, they weigh this guy in, and he weighs 700 and some odd pounds. The doctor tells him, as with every patient, you need to go on this diet. Your eating is out of control, and you need to go on this diet, 1,200 calories a day, and you need to, and you should be at your size able to lose this amount of weight. I'll see you in a month. So as they're going on, while the camera's there, he's eating vegetables and so on and so forth. At a certain point, they're like, oh, we have to cancel our appointment with the doctor because we can't get there. And he's having to travel to and from the doctor in the ambulance.
Yeah.
And then they had a problem with their van. So they had a problem with the van, so they had to order it. They had to order food in.
Oh, man.
So by the way, you can get groceries delivered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can take an Uber to the grocery store.
Amazon will deliver groceries to you.
Exactly. This guy, when they brought him back into the, they brought him back in, and meanwhile, they have to weigh him in bed. They come back in, and after 60 days, he not only had he not lost any weight, he had gained weight. How much weight do you think James gained in 60 days?
30 pounds.
Jason.
89.
He gained over 100 pounds in 60 days.
Oh, man.
He went to 835 pounds.
Poor guy.
And by the way, he has his own catchphrase. It's, ow, my leg!
Wow.
Yeah. It was the scariest horror film I have ever seen.
I'm telling you, man. I come home and it's like immediate down. Like, Chris watches it because, A, it cheers for a better life. Being married to me.
Because she's getting prepared if you ever break your leg again.
And then there's also she also watches that, and then she also watches Outnumbered or something like that. And it's about the dad that has like his wife had like two sets of triplets or something like that. So like he has like, and so she watches that because she's the week when she get like she can't handle CJ, which is like it could be like that. So.
Oh, well, that's good. If you guys come over for the WrestleMania party, we can talk about my 600 pound life. That'll be fantastic. We'll do that in the corner away from you, of course. All right, let's move on and wrap it up with this. Oh, that theme song means only one thing.
From goofballs to gators, here's Florida Corner.
Investigators are seeking to identify the Florida bank customer who included a bag of cocaine along with cash in their ATM deposit. That's right. According to a police report, a technician was directed to examine the ATM that had gone out of service at a Suncoast Credit Union branch. The ATM's deposit mechanism was jammed. When they looked at it, the technician discovered the cause. It was a small clear baggie containing a white powdery substance. Well, the cops needed to look at that. The substance was possibly with the cash of the last person who made the deposit. They found the name on the bank account just before the ATM was placed out of service. At this time, it's unknown if the substance came from that last cash deposit or prior ones. The powdery substance tested positive for cocaine. Don't put your cocaine in the ATM.
No,
shouldn't do that.
You're never going to be able to withdraw it. Meanwhile, a 34-year-old Floridian was arrested early in the morning on a warrant charging him with violating terms of probation. His name's Joshua Fletcher. The probation was following a guilty plea to misdemeanor domestic violence charges. As Fletcher was being booked into the Duval County lockup in Jacksonville, they discovered he had a large stash of the antidepressant Alprazolam. Now, specifically, he was found with 54 pills, which an officer reported, and I quote, appeared to come from the suspect's anus.
Alrighty then.
Those pills were taken to the property room. The report does not disclose which public servant had to gather up and count the pieces of evidence in that case. And finally, one last thing in Florida Corner here. We could, because we can't end without some Florida Corner music. So let me a little bit of that. Are you gonna play? What are you gonna do? No, it's gonna do that. All right. This is gonna finish this ad. We're gonna wrap this up, and one more story, and then we'll wrap the whole thing up. And I feel the need to say this.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
All right. Finally, here's your headline from Florida. Mr. Toot gets busted for cocaine possession. That is a children's book cover. After spotting Neil Toot bicycling through a stop sign, the sheriff's deputy went to pull him over. He's 51. He kept pedaling away and at one point threw something behind him to the right. After Toot eventually dismounted his ride on a Bradenton street, a patrolman retrieved the tossed item, which turned out to be a plastic baggie containing crack rock cocaine.
Mr. Toot.
He was arrested on felony narcotics possession charges. Toot is being held in the Manatee County Jail in lieu of $5,000 bond. He's a convicted felon, shockingly enough, previously serving state prison time for cocaine possession and aggravated child abuse. Rep sheet also includes collars for drunk driving, battery, probation violation, domestic battery, failure to pay child support, and violating a domestic violence protection order.
He just didn't learn.
Jail records do not list an alias or nickname for Toot. So, Mr. Toot.
Mr. Toot liked to toot.
Yeah, indeed he did. Mr. Toot loved his Coke. So that's going to do it for Florida Corner. That's going to do it for this episode of the show. You know, we haven't done these in a while, and they're running a little longer than normal. But, hey, it's all for you.
Just for you.
Just for you. In the meantime, enjoy a little flow ride, and we'll wrap it up. 500th show is the next one. It's coming out on Monday. This is episode 499.
Boom.
Indeed. And all of them full of nonsense. See you next time. Bye. Sleeping lions den, that gold, that spark, that crown. You're looking at the king of the jungle now. Stronger than ever, can't hold me down. 100 miles gunning from the pitcher's mound. Straight gang face, it's gang day. See me running through the crowd full of melee. No trick plays, I'm Bill Gates. Take a genius to understand me. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
Thanks for listening, and remember to use the Shop Amazon tab at natedarlingshow.com.